All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another roundtable discussion at the Bree and Mike. Bill's here, Joey's here, David's here. David and I, we just did a podcast on, I think I titled it the Biblical something Zimmerman.
Biblical approach to Zimmerman.
Hey, David, like we've gotten some comments to that one.
Yeah, I'd respond to a few last night.
Yeah, I thought you did a great job of just at so-and-so, yeah. Just articulating it well. The comments have been all over the spectrum.
Definitely.
On our situation. And now we get to look at another article. This is coming to us from campusreform.org. We're getting a lot of public comment on the Zimmerman trial. And certainly we don't need to explain who Zimmerman is to our listening audience. The sermon audio audience is a little bit more informed. But we've got a University of Pennsylvania professor who is quoted as saying, "God is a white racist who carries gun and stalks young black men." what a title. Guys, I mean, when you read that, how do people like this get to be professors at universities? I mean, I don't even understand how somebody I'm going to use the word ignorant. That word doesn't have as many connotations as the word stupid. I used the word stupid Sunday night, and I was taken to task for calling someone stupid. So, but I think ignorant. Can I use the word ignorant? Is that a fair?
Right, and if you're in this part of the country, it's ignorant.
Yeah. I think it just goes to show you how far gone the university system is. You know, granted, this is an Ivy League school, so we're in select company of atheist, free-thinking thought. But, you know, if somebody read a Bible verse in class, they would be excoriated for hate speech, and yet this woman can stand up and say that God is a white racist and stalks young black men, and the university has no comment.
That's because that's considered deep-thinking stuff.
Yeah.
Right there. Someone who dares to think deeply and get philosophical about the God of the Americans.
Yeah.
Joey, introduce the article, please.
She goes on to say that anger over the not guilty verdict, the Zimmerman trial, arguing in a blog post that God must be a white racist. She adds, "God ain't good all the time," she said. "In fact, sometimes God is not for us. As a black woman in a nation that has taken too many pains to remind me that I am not a white man, and I'm not capable of taking care of my reproductive rights or my voting rights, I know that this American God ain't my God."
Now, how in the world is she correlating reproductive rights and voting rights? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, when has she not been allowed to vote?
Well, the 19th Amendment, I think, fixed that, didn't it? Women's suffrage, about 19th Amendment? Was it 1922?
Okay, so 1922, all right, 13 plus 78. This woman does not look like she's 90 years old.
No.
It's amazing, and you see this throughout, is people take an opportunity on one topic, and they just throw in all this extra garbage. Like, what does reproductive rights have to do with the conversation?
Well, that's highbrow for pro-choice.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, women's health issues, reproductive issues. And so what have we equated here? We've equated being black to being homosexual, to being
pregnant.
A woman.
To being pregnant.
Yeah, all that's the same. You know, it's all a condition of oppression by the white man. Yeah, and so it's all underneath that same thing. And I saw an interesting video the other day, and it was one of the protests, and a white gentleman got up and started talking about how the 1%, of course, is oppressing everybody, and it's these white guys that are oppressing minorities and blacks and Hispanics and homosexuals. And a black woman got up and got the mic, and she said, "We're not talking about that gay stuff right now. We're talking about, you know." So they don't all equate this, and
right.
Yet, but the intelligentsia, the academics of the world, they equate all this into one great minority struggle. You could almost equate it to Pharisees and Sadducees getting along for the case of going after Christ when they really don't agree on anything at all.
I just can't fathom how an intelligent woman, and we are going to assume that she is intelligent because she's in an incredible school, I mean, people pay lots of money to be educated in a school like this.
I don't even want to know what tuition is.
Right.
And it was founded by a white guy, right, William Penn?
Yeah, a Quaker, for that
a believer,
matter.
A Christian. Yeah.
And how does she not understand that the... I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it every time we're on this topic, that the greatest threat to a black baby is a black woman.
Next, explain that for the people that haven't listened to us before.
The percentage of fetuses that are aborted in the African-American community is over 70%, Bill. Mm. It's over 70%. So forget about the white racist. 7 out of 10 black babies never make it out of the womb because a black woman ended that baby's life. So 7 out of 10. So forget about the fact of white oppression right now. What we have is black female oppression on black babies. Right. All right, now let's take it a step further. Of all the blacks that are killed in America, only 9% are murdered by non-blacks. Did you hear that number?
Yeah.
That's according to the FBI. 9%. If you are a black and you got murdered last year, 91% were from other blacks. So please don't talk to me about this oppression.
Right. It just gets in the media. It makes good news. It excites people, and that's exactly what's happening.
But these people are allowed to say what they want, and they'll be at a roundtable discussion, and nobody says anything that challenges what they say.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, what do we make of this? God is a white racist. I mean, Bill, answer that charge from a biblical perspective.
Well, from a biblical perspective, God, first of all, didn't pick a white man to be the first Hebrew. You know, the first sojourner, the first Hebrew is Abraham, a man from the Ur of the Chaldees, current day Iraq. You know,
and he probably would not look like any of us in this room, would he?
I don't think so.
And arguably, Adam didn't look like any of us either. If he had the genetic potential for all the races of the world in his loins, he probably looked nothing like us either. He was probably significantly dark. Significantly dark. And might I say that if people were named after their physiology, probably Noah was dark. Probably Ham was dark. Probably Cush was dark. Probably Phut was dark. Right on down the line. So we don't see very many people in biblical lineage that are just Aryan, you know how the party line goes, white and blonde hair and blue eye. You just don't see it. Furthermore.
So white, blonde, and blue eyed is a variant.
Sure.
It's not the starting point.
No, absolutely not. And it's furthermore way on down the line in the line of Japheth. You know, the European. So that's the son of Noah whose descendants settled in what would now be called Europe.
And there's no reason to believe for even a second that somebody who grew up in the Middle East would be as light as all of us in this room.
Right. Furthermore, Jesus was not an American. He wasn't white. He didn't come from any white people. He was a Jew. He's from the tribe of Judah. He is a descendant of Abraham, descendant of David, a descendant of Solomon. He grew up in Nazareth. Other than some of the highbrows that developed in intelligentsia Germany in the last 200 years, no one believed there were, and those people, by the way, would be called the Order of the Rosicrucians, who believed that Mary had Jesus as a result of a relationship with a Germanic Roman soldier stationed somewhere in Nazareth.
Right, and that's zany stuff. That's stupid, right? That's utterly stupid.
Of course it is.
We don't even entertain that.
No.
We don't even consider it. That's just absurd.
And I've even heard a lot of people from the Nation of Islam say that in Revelation 1, when it says that Jesus had hair like wool, that meant that he was really a black man. Well, that's not true either. It says his hair was white like wool. It's not talking about texture. It's talking about color. So the truth is, Pastor Sean, a lot of this stuff would be taken care of if people would read their Bible. I mean, it's really just about, I don't even need to be a PhD teaching at the UPenn to know that. But having said all that, I think I know what she's trying to say. She's trying to say that the God that's well known in America is the white God. It's kind of like the Native American who says, I don't want to be a Christian because that's the white man's God. Well, the God of the Bible, the God of what they might call the fundamentalists, the God of what we might call Bible churches, Bible-believing Baptist churches, conservatism, they would say that that's a white God. That's the God that the white man has developed. That's the God who's homophobic. That's the God who is genocidal. That's the God who is racist. That's the God who doesn't mind enslaving women. That's the chauvinistic God, in other words. And so since that's the God of white America, that's the God of the slave owner, that's the God of the early Freemasonry, that's the God of the Illuminati, that's the God, and they just have all these conspiracy-type theories like that. The white man has been doing his very best to keep the blacks and the other minorities suppressed.
Right.
And so she has a problem with the well-known God of the white man. But what she needs to understand is that this God, this Jesus, has a lot of adherents that go to mega churches pastored by black men. How about T.D. Jakes, who says that he worships Jesus Christ? Most of the people sitting in his pews at the Eagle's Nest, is that what it's, no, it's called the Potter's House now. Yeah. And Dallas, what is it, 30,000 people?
Something like that.
Not all white. So she needs to understand that she is marginalizing a lot of Bible believing. And would we have T.D. Jakes preach in our church? No, probably not. Would we have Preflo Dollar preach in our church? Probably not. But these are black men who say they follow Jesus the Christ and that they believe the God of the Bible. And you would be hard-pressed to put Creflo Dollar or T.D. Jakes, just to name a couple of megachurch, black megachurch pastors, sit them in these chairs here and say, do you think that the God of the Bible is a white racist? And of course that they would have problems with it. Of course
But Bill, you don't hear these guys say anything about this.
That's because they would marginalize, in turn, about 80% of their membership.
I mean, that's where we're at. These people are just allowed, Joey, to say whatever they want completely unchecked.
Right.
Virtually no accountability whatsoever for their comments.
Yeah, her response was not very repentive or... I'll take care of the KKK clan Twitter egg Abby's till I return. I see my sheet. They don't like me calling out their racist God. Too bad. So you can say what you want, but I'm not changing my mind.
And she's obviously, she's going for shock value here. She's an atheist. She doesn't believe in God.
Yeah, who teaches, by the way, at part of the religious studies program. Yeah.
Well, you know what that means nowadays.
Sure. Well, who's this guy up at? Is UNC.
Yeah, Bart Ehrman.
Yeah. So you got atheists teaching in religious studies programs.
Sure, and in our postmodern culture where truth is relative, well, you don't need to call anybody out because every statement is valid unless you want to make an absolute statement. And once you make an absolute statement, then you're shouted down for your bigotry or your racism or your hatred. And so this crazy statement, it fits right into what culture is embracing now.
But the current perception, David, is only whites can be racist.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Well, when you call him out on that thing, I was talking to an African-American gentleman, one of my friends from high school, and I said, you say that I profile somebody when I'm walking down the street because he's black, but if you pulled up next to a bunch of rednecks in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, with rebel flags in the back of their truck and a shotgun rack, you'd be nervous too. I mean, you'd be equally as nervous as I am nervous if you knew you're in the middle of Klan country. You're profiling them, so you're just as guilty of it as we all are. And to a certain point, it's called self-preservation.
Sure.
I look at someone, and I'm concerned of what they're going to do to
me.
Are you a potential threat to me? Are you a potential threat to me? Because people are depraved.
Yeah, but the argument they'll make is the way it has been painted is if you are not in the majority, then you can't possibly be racist. If you have been oppressed in any way, and I'm not for racism. I hate racism. I think it's horrible. But the idea that you can't be prejudiced against somebody because
you're a minority
is a little bit ridiculous.
And then if you try to argue, for example, in the Hope Mills Parade, you remember the 70-some-year-old man that had a float that said White History Month on it? In the Hope Mills Parade, I think it was over 4th of July. Of all the places for him to pull that stuff, yeah. Well, the Fayetteville Observer, which is a liberal rag out of nowhere. I mean, you have the editor there, Pitts, I think is the last name,
mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, come on now, how many times have the achievements of white people been suppressed? They're missing the point. The point is that when you start making everyone special on their own little month, nobody is special,
yeah.
And it makes it hostile for those who are just trying to exist. But I don't think what they understand is that when you assume that a white, straight, Christian male is always hating, that makes it very uncomfortable for him. Very uncomfortable. But
yeah, you have I mean, you almost have to stereotype. Yeah. But, you know, if I were to go down to downtown Atlanta, or let's say I had to go out to L.A., downtown L.A., I would be nervous right now. I mean, you could say maybe there's not been the riots like everybody predicted there, but you would be nervous.
Sure.
Because they have painted us as the hate mongers. And, you know, our history is not good.
Even though Zimmerman wasn't all white.
No. I think his great-granddad was black. Like, you know, and he's Hispanic, and he was a Democrat, you said, and yeah. He tutors black kids after school.
But let's make a point that you made on the last recording, I think it was, Pastor David. President Obama is as white as Zimmerman is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Half white.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet you would never hear that portrayed.
No.
Because it doesn't fit the narrative.
There's no objectivity, David. There's no objectivity at all. There's no ability to analyze real numbers, real data. I mean, who uses the N-word more? The African-American culture or the white culture? Uh-huh. I mean, on any given day, on any 24-hour period, on any one-hour period of that period, in the number of times the N-word is used across the nation, who's using it?
And who else gets called their original... I've never been called a German-American. Not a day in my life have I ever been called a Bavarian-American. That dude from Bavaria, Oberfranken, the Sturms, came over from Oberfranken in 1868. No one says that dude from Palmer in Germany. No, I'm called a white guy. And I remember when I was growing up in Wisconsin, I knew very few, to be PC, African-Americans, knew very few black people, very few. So I was nervous just because I'd never seen very many of them growing up in what amounted to then as rural Wisconsin. Well, when I said someone was black, my mother said, no, you got to call them colored. Black is just too intrusive. I came down south and I started saying, I didn't come south until I was 19. Okay. I came down south and I started using the word colored. That was horrible. I said, don't say that. It's black. I said, what? Up in Wisconsin, if you say black, it's wrong. You got to say colored. Say in the South, colored, you're going back to slavery. You got to. So you want to talk about making life nervous. I'm 35 years old, and you want to. All I need to do is talk about an African-American, BPC, just so that no one listening to this gets distracted by the fact I'm saying black. All I have to do is be around the subject, and I get nervous because I've never been allowed to look at them as normal people, ever. I've never been allowed to look at them as normal people because of the way the news has painted it as this big, basically modern day. Now, I've got the listener out there that says, well, you didn't live during the 60s and the Civil War, the Civil Rights. You didn't live during the Civil War. That's true. So give me a break. Let me have an opportunity to see my black neighbor as a human being made in the image of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ. Yeah,
We can't have frank conversations about race in our culture with women like this and guys putting on their signs that God is... that the jury is white, a pastor of a Baptist church, of a black Baptist church, you know, the juries were all white racist. I mean, you can't, even though we'll send an all-white jury, you can't have an open and frank conversation. You can't heal any wounds with this kind of talk.
It's very interesting, because the fact of the matter is, as you mentioned, the South is an interesting place, because you can't look at our history and ignore the racism that went on.
No way.
You know, and nobody wants to do that. But what we've gotten to now is, a white person is incapable of empathy because we have no standard. You know, the postmodern idea is if you haven't experienced it, then you can't speak to it. So if we say something on this level, then, you know, we're just the white guys that don't understand.
Right.
When we come out and say, a baby, a fetus 20 weeks old is a human being, they say you can't get pregnant, so you can't speak to that. And yet if a man comes out and says, I'm all for women's choice, they let him speak all day long. You know, so it's an interesting sort of little contradiction that we've got going on. But that's the whole thing is the culture has informed a victim mentality. I mean, why do we have the welfare system that we have in America? Because it has been portrayed as people have been oppressed and they've been victimized and the playing field needs to be leveled.
Right.
And what has it created? It's created this, what we have right here. So as much as the president wants to talk about transparency and unity, he pushes agendas that do the exact opposite and create more conflict and more division.
well, this woman is clearly not helping the dialogue.
No, in any
way, shape, or form. These comments are not constructive at all.
No, I do not feel like I have the ability to relax and just treat people of different ethnicities as if they are people like me. Because if I'm nice to them, it's because I pity them. Mm-hmm. If I'm not nice to them, it's because I'm a racist. There's no winning.
And let's make sure we're clear, listener. There's no indication that she has said, that was stupid what I said, and I'm retracting what I said. We all say stupid things.
Sure.
I say stupid things. We all say... She's not retracting it. No, this was exceptionally intentional.
And there's no pressure to retract it. I mean, why would she need to retract it?
She's got tenure, probably.
Probably. Yeah. And so what we end up with here is... And it's the same thing you see. I think I was mentioning to you, Joey, the other day. For a class, apologetics class last semester, I read Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion. Richard Dawkins isn't interested in a form of ideas. He's made up his mind. He's not interested in an intellectual conversation. He doesn't want to hear what Christians think. He's made up his mind, and he's going to attack Christianity at all costs. She's not interested in a form of ideas. And the irony is, she's a professor that should be all about the form of ideas, because that's what the university is all about. She's made up her mind, she's made the judgment, and nothing is going to change that.
This is, David, just another example of those who claim that for us to be more tolerant are the most intolerant. Those that are asking for people to be more open-minded are the most narrow-minded.
Right.
Anyone who would say something as stupid as, who carries a gun and stalks young men, Christ died for that young black male.
And the half-white that took his life.
And this professor that's making these ignorant statements.
Right.
That's right. And we'll redeem all three through faith in the gospel.
Amen.
Right. Right. Without exception. And there's nothing... It is utterly absurd to suggest for even a moment what she's suggesting. In fact, we see in the Old Testament that God pours out his wrath on Israel more than any other nation.
Right.
His own people.
His own people.
The people he called. He called them.
And then he smokes them. Right. So don't talk to me about a racist God. That is utterly absurd. We have a God who punishes all for their failure and who is merciful and gracious and long-suffering.
And so we get this portrayal of, like Pastor Bill said, this the God that hates women and the God that condones slavery. And they say, well, Christians believed in this. No, Christians didn't. You know, people who said they may have been Christians might have done that, but Christians didn't believe in oppression. Mm-hmm. Christians never believed in that. And we don't believe in that because a careful reading of the Bible tells us
you're not
that,
loving your
that God is not racist.
I mean, yeah. these are all right, these white guys in the South, and I you know, I'm from Georgia. These white guys in the South, they were killing black people who were converting to Christianity. Mm-hmm. They were killing them. So they were not, so according to Jesus' words, all men are going to know you're my disciples if you love one another, by how you love one another. Well, they're not loving their fellow brothers in Christ. So they were not believers. These were not Christians. Okay, Hitler was not a Christian. I mean, those kind of things. He may have claimed it. They may have used it for their benefit, but they weren't believers. And so while we look at that, and we, you know, I watched a video last night about the fruit of the South, an old song, an old Negro spiritual song, and it just showed picture after picture after picture of a black person being hung, beheaded. And it's tragic, it's sobering, it's awful. But these kind of comments are only going to push us to doing that now to the other side. You're just inciting hatred, and you're not making any progress. And so to claim that's Christian, like you said, is not true, because Christians are supposed to love their neighbor. So anybody that's not loving their neighbor, that doesn't love their brother in Christ, isn't a Christian.
So, or is sinning.
Or is living and to continue down that road over and over and over again and to be unrepentant. It would say, you're not.
There's no evidence that you're.
And we don't embrace it. And they should know better. I mean, a lot of these people should know better. Look at the progress we've made in 50 years. I mean, look at the progress. You know, our church is one.
The progress is such that she has a professorship at a school that was started by a white male, and she can say anything she wants.
Yeah.
You talk about progress. Do you know the number of countries in the world where she couldn't say what she said?
Mm-hmm.
That there would be repercussions for saying what she said?
Yeah, in no other country could she rise to the level that she's risen.
Absolutely.
I think that's probably safe to say.
And then say what she wants to say without fear of anything.
And we are the ones who
She gets notoriety because of this.
Sure.
Right. This only emboldens her position on the campus because anything that brings attention to you as a professor is good for the university.
This probably gets journal articles published and books published and things like that.
Now she can address this even more. Yeah. Creates a platform, and it's all based on an utterly stupid statement.
And it does not help boys like Trayvon Martin in America. It does not help the average black boy on the street. This doesn't help them. This doesn't make their life easier. This doesn't get them out of gangs, out of drugs. This doesn't keep them from getting... She's doing nothing productive to help them by making these kind of comments.
No, when you see people, for example, on Saturday night on the Twitter responses to CNN saying, Atlanta, when do we riot? I'm up for a riot. When you see that kind of stuff, look, there wasn't any white people tweeting that. And when you see that, what is a white man doing who wants to protect his family when he reads thousands of tweets about violence? He's thinking about protecting himself. He's thinking about protecting his family.
As he should.
Yeah. So it's not helping anything when people of a different ethnicity than the whites talk about inciting violence. It's not like we think anyone won in that situation.
Yeah, I mean,
so it doesn't help anything.
There are very few people who are going away from this saying that George Zimmerman is a hero. George Zimmerman is not a hero.
No way.
You know, no one is. Well, maybe people are saying that.
No, they are saying that. We got a comment on Sermon Audio just recently on our podcast about how he protected the innocent people in his neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. We're not saying that. There isn't anyone at this table that's suggesting that.
No.
Our perspective was completely different, and it wasn't a popular perspective.
No.
On Sermon Audio.
No, the average Southern conservative, Hunter Fisher, doesn't want to hear us make those kind of comments about guns.
Absolutely not.
We put patriotism and constitutionality, and we made it equal with the New Testament, not subordinate to it.
Right. And that's the God that she's addressing, by the way.
Yeah, she's addressing that God.
Yeah.
The God Guts and Guns Rally God.
Right, yeah. That's the God she's addressing.
Yeah. Which there's some legitimacy there, but that's not the God of the Bible.
Right.
You know, that's a creation of American Christianity. That is not a reflection of what it is. And yet, in this narrative, if you're a white male, you're in that camp. Yeah. There's no other way. There's no other place you can be.
We'd like her to listen to like guys like Lecrae and Tripoli, or go over to Africa and see African Americans who are worshiping the Christian God, and see that we're not saying anything different than what they're saying, and that she's, like you said, she's marginalizing her own.
Some
of her own people.
Right. And if Jesus was right, and I believe he was, when he said, "If you see me, you've seen the Father." Then I, a white man, would like Anthea Butler, a black woman, to meet the Jew named Jesus and fall at his feet and acknowledge that he is the righteous one.
Well, the reality is, Bill, she will.
Yeah.
Either now or later, but she will.
Right.
Right. And this statement may be ringing in her mind for all eternity. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Give us your comments. Post them directly to Sermon Audio, and we'll be happy to respond.